We've got Brad Friedman from Brad Blog, who's in the studio right now, and go ahead, Mark Bellin. There we go. How about that?
Hey, Lars.
I got to jump. I got to do a real quick interview over here on another subject, but you're going to talk about BradBlog.com, so people can go and check it out.
They can
see all the crazy things you say there.
Crazy, anything they want to talk about.
But you and I will light it up.
We'll
get back to that in just a moment. Brad's here with me. Kelly Kurtzman is with me from Verizon. Now, here's a nice intrusion into your individual civil liberties. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lars.
Now, you work for Verizon, the telephone company.
I do.
All right. Now, what happens in Washington State on the 1st of July?
There's a new hands-free law that goes into effect on July 1st in Washington State. So it will require you to make sure that you have both hands on the wheel so you can use a hands-free device while using your wireless phone.
Now, both my car and my wife's car both have the hands-free devices. They're already built in, and they're Bluetooth and all that good stuff. But, you know, the logic is that the government doesn't trust you to drive a car and talk on a cell phone at the same time.
Well, I think, you know, that may be true for some people. They say it's a cognitive activity, and our hope is that you don't talk on the phone if you don't have the ability or feel comfortable to do that. But we think that being able to use your hands-free device should enable you to talk and have a safe conversation while keeping both hands on the wheel.
See, now, I'm with you on that, but I think that talking is the cognitive activity, not holding the cell phone. Because if holding something distracted you, holding a steering wheel or holding a gear shift knob or holding a cup of coffee would be just as distracting as holding the cell phone. I've always thought it was the talking that was the thing that distracted your mind from driving.
Well, and I think it may be also, though, that, you know, texting or dialing a phone number while you're driving, I think, so it's not so much holding it to your ear that is you've got it in your hand, you're trying to dial a phone number, you're trying to send a text message. So I think the message here is really, you know, make sure that you have your numbers downloaded in or stored into your phone so you can do a speed dial, you know, activate your voicemail before you leave the curb and do some of those things. So really that it's just the actual talking as you're driving instead of being distracted by trying to enter a phone number or you know, a text message.
How is it this thing found its way into law without your company coming out, and beating it?
Well, we've actually been in support of legislation as long as it's statewide. So, you know, we led the industry in requiring that device manufacturers provided cell phones equipped with universal headset jacks, voice-activated dialing. So we've been a proponent of this as long as it was statewide. And in fact, with the new law in place, we're doing free shipping of hands-free car kits and headsets and earpieces if you order them online.
So here's the deal. So my cell phone, you are my cell phone company.
You don't even
trust me to talk on a cell phone and drive.
Well, you're a busy guy. You might get distracted, Lars.
I don't get distracted by talking. If I got the car with me, just ask them.
Well, we don't get to make the laws, but we are very comfortable with complying with law, making sure, again, that we're providing hands-free devices for our customers and accessories for a long time. Come a long way, and people are buying those today. So we've certainly seen a bit of an up in our sales as a result of this, but it's not really different than many of our customers are utilizing phones today.
And accessories have been very, very good to Verizon, have they not?
Yes, they have.
Lots of money to be made there, right?
Well, the idea is to make sure that, you know, people stay in touch. They are more productive than ever, and so we want to make sure that we're providing all those accessories to keep them productive and online at all times.
Oh, so you're not worried about making a profit. You just want me to be productive in my job.
Well, profits are always nice.
Believe me, I'm a big believer in profits. I just don't like people being shy about admitting it. But
we love profits. That's how we have the most reliable out there for you.
But I would like the government to stay out of my car and out of my hair and out of every other part of my life and trying to regulate how I drive down the road. I mean, I think somebody with a big drippy Carl's Jr. sandwich is probably more distracted driving down the road than somebody talking on a cell phone. At least the cell phone won't drip in my lap.
Well, I happen to agree with you wholeheartedly, but I'm not the one that's making the laws out there, so I just have to make sure we comply with them.
And sell the accessories. Kelly, thank you very much for coming on.
You bet. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Kelly Kurtzman, who's with Verizon, and Brad's over there. Brad usually disagrees with me on stuff. Brad from Brad Blog, on that, you agree.
Well,
are you libertarian enough to trust people?
No, you know what? It's not a matter of trusting people. In truth, when I live in L.A., you're not allowed to get into a car without a cell phone in Los Angeles. I didn't know. I don't know if you knew that. But I will tell you that every time someone cuts me off, I look up. They're on the phone.
Then how do they raise a middle finger when, you know?
Yeah, well, or their gun in that case.
Well, no, they should have more guns.
Just to bring it all around.
Should we have more guns in L.A.?
I don't see why.
Of law-abiding?
Why should we?
Why should we?
Why do we need more guns?
Because it makes bad guys reluctant to commit crimes.
I have not noticed that. I think bad guys are going to commit crimes if they want to commit crimes.
You should read the works of Dr. John Lott, who looks at the economics of crime and says that in states where concealed carry is legal,
yeah,
bad guys don't commit as many crimes because they know they might end up with a bullet in their head.
Yes, I understand that. So you're suggesting then by today's Supreme Court decision,
yes,
that we're going to see the violence rate plummet now in Washington, D.C.
The minute,
right?
Guns are in. And here's what I find really,
if they go up,
here's what I find interesting.
Yeah.
If gay marriage gets approved,
yeah,
5 minutes later, somebody at some county in San Francisco is selling licenses, right? But
yeah,
but gun rights have just been... The interruption of gun rights by the District of Columbia has just been ruled unconstitutional by the highest court in the land, and the D.C. folks say, we're going to need a few months to transition that into place. Now, have you seen any other civil right that's ever been given back? You know, if you said, these kids have a right to go to the same school as the other kids, can you imagine the school authority saying, yeah, and we'll get to that in a few months?
I'm not sure if you need the same sort of regulations for sending folks back to school or giving them same-sex marriage licenses that you would need for selling guns, for allowing guns, for changing those laws. That's a very serious issue. Now, I presume you saw you see this as a big victory.
I don't think you should have to have a law to let somebody own a gun in their house. That's
no,
all that they
no
got.
No laws. They can buy them. They can keep them. No licenses necessary. You're cool.
Can't do
that.
It now.
The part about the well-regulated militia.
The Supreme Court wisely decided that had nothing to do with it. Because here's a trivia question for you. The first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, are all about individual rights.
Well, a well-regulated militia.
No.
That is, you can say they're about individual rights.
You're forgetting the comma, and then there's a comma.
That's right.
The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The comma is really important.
Yeah, why is
that? In fact, I read part of both the majority opinion and the dissent. The dissent is not very persuasive that somehow the framers said you should only be able to go own guns to be part of the local, conquered militiamen.
What part of well-regulated do you feel would be allowable in your opinion?
Well, a well-regulated militia. It doesn't say anything about regulating gun use. In the same way that, let me ask you this.
So you feel the militia should be regulated, but gun use, unrestrained,
anyone can buy. No, the Constitution says that the militia should be regulated.
And you agree with that part of the Constitution, but you feel there's a comma, and so these are separate ideas.
And let me tell you why, because I give you an example of an unregulated militia.
All right.
The Iranian Republican Guard. They're not very regulated, and they go out and they shoot at our ships, and their government says, hey, we didn't do that. That was just our military.
Uh-huh.
They're not very well regulated. I think they're an example of an unregulated militia.
So the regulated part has nothing to do with private ownership of guns.
No, you got to read where
no
the comma is.
I didn't say no.
In the same way that I've never said that speech should not be regulated, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, but it doesn't say that you have an unrestricted right to say, the classic example being fire in a crowded theater or anything else that would panic. If I said, if I wrote a note to somebody that said there's anthrax in your office air conditioning system, that would be an example of free speech that would probably panic people if received by a government agency. And yet it is pure free speech. If I simply write a note that says there is anthrax in the air conditioning system at the state office building and I sent that somewhere, that would be an example of free speech. But it would also be something that you could compare to fire in a crowded theater. So, yes, you can have regulations. But D.C. had a ban. They said you are not allowed to do this at all.
I'm asking you what kind of regulations would be okay with you for private ownership of guns. You seem to be indicating none.
No guns for convicted felons.
Okay.
No guns for crazy people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And there you have to get into the weeds on that one.
I was going to say, how do you determine who's crazy?
Well, I think we can come up with some good regulations. They'll probably have to be complicated because, for example,
uh-huh,
a man comes back from Iraq, and he has a severe form of PTSD. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is completely discombobulated, whatever the technical term for that is.
Right.
He probably shouldn't have a gun. On the other hand, the man comes back from Iraq and has a tough time sleeping. I'll bet there are a lot of guys coming and gals coming back from Iraq who have a sleep disorder. They're having a tough time sleeping.
Sure.
Does that mean that level of PTSD should say you don't have a gun? No. I don't think so. Mild discomfort sleeping, lots of Americans have it for a lot of different reasons. So we can figure out that. But getting into the weeds
licensing
on that.
Licensing for guns? Would
no,
that be
I don't think we need to license guns, and I'll tell you why. I think that every time there's been a licensing scheme, it's been followed by a ban. New York is a good example of that. Other places where they have begun with licensing and they have ended with confiscation. It's not a good idea. Let me give you my favorite example of unlicensed place.
All right.
Where's Howard Dean from again?
Vermont.
That's right, Vermont, where any American citizen who's not crazy and not a felon can walk into a gun store, buy a pistol, put it in his pocket, and go anywhere he wants with it without a card from the government. Now, let me ask you, how many of the other Bill of Rights should we have licensing for? Should you have to have a license to be a Christian?
Oh, of course not.
Should you have to have a license to publish a newspaper?
I was going to say, of course not, because you can't kill somebody by being a Christian, but maybe I speak
well,
too fast in saying
that. Well, you may not jump into that.
But as far as a driver's license, you have to have a driver's license. I assume you're not against licensing folks before they drive a car. It's dangerous.
But
you
see,
can't kill people with a car.
Where I'm operating a car on the public roadways.
Right.
Okay. If I'm just a private citizen and I'm walking down a sidewalk that is the public sidewalk and I'm not operating a vehicle, why should I have to have a license to carry a gun in my pocket? Should I have to have a license to have a Christian cross around my neck?
Of course not. These
Why
are not?
Not
comparable because
Why
you
not?
Can kill someone
well,
with a car.
No.
You're
well,
not likely to kill someone with a Christian cross around your neck.
I can kill people with a knife. Should we have licensing for knives? And I only say that because Great Britain has actually proposed licensing for
I understand. And mind
they're
you,
crazy.
I'm a constitutionalist, so I'm not coming at this saying
we
should ignore the Constitution. I'm just saying, you know, where are the limits here? And I do think a reasonable case can be made that if you need to license someone to drive a car because
why are
they
comparable? Why are they comparable? I might kill somebody with a knife. I might kill somebody with a baseball bat.
Exactly. I understand, but the proper
well, let's license. In fact, there are kids in this town who beat old people up with baseball bats on the match line.
The proper use of a knife or a gun would not result in killing someone.
The proper use of a gun is not going to kill anybody either.
If you're in your own home,
no. No,
you're
if I'm walking down the street and I only use the gun properly,
right?
Bad guy comes to me and says, give me your wallet. Uh-huh. I put the gun in his face. He goes away. That's the proper use of a gun. You don't have to pull the trigger. You only pull the trigger if the threat continues to be a threat, at which point it's appropriate to blow his head
off. And then you have to be properly trained to use the gun. I just think it's
Where does it say that in the Constitution?
I think it's common sense.
Where does it say that in the Constitution?
It doesn't. Well, it says well-regulated.
Militia. But I'm not part of the militia. I'm just a private citizen exercising the heller rights that I have today.
You have pointed out that there is a comma there. Not
yes,
a period.
That keeps the well-regulated away from the citizen.
These are not two separate clauses.
Yes, well, no.
It's a comma.
A well-regulated,
it's not a period.
But it's a modifier. Remember in English when they said modifier? If you say well-regulated, like fat talk show host refers to the talk show host. Fat board operator would refer to the board operator. Well-regulated militia refers to the militia. It does not refer to me. I'm not in the militia. I don't seek to be in the militia. I want to just own a gun, as the Constitution says I have a right to. Why should I be regulated?
Lars, this is some pretty fancy Clinton-esque parsing.
No, it's not.
Here.
We'll be back in just a moment. You've got the Lars Larson Show. 27 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman with me from Brad Blog in Studio. We're having a lively conversation off and on the air. Let's take some calls and see what happens.
All right.
Let's go to Kurt in Lebanon, Oregon. Not Lebanon, the Middle East where they have plenty of guns. Uh-huh. Kurt, what's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. First-time caller. The gentleman with whom you're speaking is playing a game that a lot of folks who are damaged by the public school system apparently fall victim to. The term regulated in the current or the then current time of usage of the Second Amendment refers not to government regulation, but in fact to the militia being properly outfitted.
Oh.
That is to say, equipped with the necessary means by which to be called up to duty. Even today, the term regulated with respect to sights on firearms refers to being properly zeroed so that you can hit your target.
Good point. And I don't know the history well enough to know whether that interpretation is true, but it would, in some ways it would make sense as well as to use the contemporary example of it where you'd say well-regulated, meaning you can't just have a bunch of yahoos that got together and said, hey, we're going to be the local army for this, this part of the county. In any case, well-regulated has nothing to do with the citizen's right to own a gun.
Because you've separated them with the comma.
No, I
don't agree
with
that separation.
The founders of America put a comma.
Well, but you've said that they are refer to two different things. But I don't think that they do. They would have put a period in there. It could have been two separate clauses entirely, talking about militia in one case and private ownership in another. So
it's funny that Scalia goes into incredible detail in his majority opinion.
I think you're
about why it's in there.
I admit I have not gotten to read it this morning. We've been traveling on the road, but I think your liberal interpretation of the Constitution.
Well, tell me this: why would there not be an individual right to own a gun in America under the Constitution? Why put it in there at all?
Oh, I think there is a right to do it. Doesn't mean it can't be regulated, as you talked about, even with
no. But I didn't say it couldn't be regulated. Even speech can be regulated.
Mind you, I'm not in here, you know, talking about banning guns. I think it's in the Constitution. We should be allowed to, you know, to carry guns. They've made, straw men arguments. Republicans have.
About
your
what?
People that Barack Obama wants to come in or anyone else.
Based
the Democrats
on his history
in
Illinois,
they want to take away your guns.
But based on his history in Illinois, he does.
He wants to take away your guns?
Yes. And I have on tape Barack Obama telling an interviewer at Channel 7 in Washington, D.C. That he believes that the D.C. gun ban is constitutional.
Okay, that's fine. It's an opinion.
It's not an opinion. No, but here's the thing. Obama wants to tell groups in Idaho, which he did, and the interviewer refers to that, I'm not going to take your guns away. Then he says, but in Washington, D.C., where they have taken away all rights to own guns, that's okay.
Well,
and
you're talking about a state right, Idaho, if they want to ban this?
No, because the federal constitution. We'll be back in a moment. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to take your phone calls and emails at 503-417-7575, 866-HEY-LARS. Brad Friedman from BradBlog is with me, and you can check him out on the web and see how wrong he is. Is the board lit up in there? Okay, because I'm going to play this soundbite from an interview, and I'll preface it by saying this is a Washington, D.C. TV interviewer talking to Senator Obama a few months ago, and he points out that Obama had gone to Idaho and said to people in Idaho, I'm not trying to take your guns away. Now, the reason he has to say that is because in the Illinois legislature, he was supportive of legislation to take people's guns away. Then in Washington, D.C., you have the local District of Columbia that has an outright gun ban that says you can't own a gun, period.
Right.
And the interviewer said, why is it that you can say in Idaho you won't take people's guns away, but in Washington, D.C., you think an outright ban on owning a gun is constitutional, and here's
fair
what he
question.
Says. He then offers up an explanation, and I'll just preface it.
Sure.
He goes on and on about what the bad things are that bad people do with guns.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't have anything to do with Heller, because Heller is about law-abiding citizens owning guns.
Okay.
There's a difference.
All right.
In the same way that if you have a crack dealer on the sidewalk selling crack, that's one thing. If you have a doctor writing prescriptions for pharmaceuticals legally, something completely different. They could even be selling the same drug, the doctor and the crack.
I'll add before you play the clip that your contention being that Barack Obama wants to take your guns away.
Yes. Based on his history in Illinois.
Let's hear the audio and see if it's supported.
Based on his votes in the U.S. Senate, based on his history in Illinois, and based on his statement that he believes the District of Columbia is within its rights to have a ban, take a listen to the bite.
One other issue is of great importance here in the district as well is gun control.
Mm-hmm.
You said in Idaho recently, quoting here, I have no intention of taking away folks' guns, but you support the D.C. handgun ban, and you said that it's constitutional. How can you reconcile those two different
positions? Because I think we have two conflicting traditions in this country. I think it is important for us to recognize that we've got a tradition of handgun ownership and gun ownership generally. And a lot of people, law-abiding citizens, use it for hunting, for sportsmanship, and for protecting their families. We also have a violence on the streets that is a result of illegal handgun use. And so there's nothing wrong, I think, with a community saying we are going to take those illegal handguns off the streets. We are going to trace more effectively how these guns are ending up on the streets to unscrupulous gun dealers who oftentimes are selling to straw purchasers. And cracking down on the various loopholes that exist in terms of background checks for children, the mentally ill, those are all approaches that I think the average gun owner would actually support. The problem is that we've got a position oftentimes by the NRA that says any regulation whatsoever is the camel's nose under the tent, and that I think is not where the American people are at. I think we can have reasonable, thoughtful gun control measures. measures that still respect the Second Amendment and people's traditions.
Okay, now here's the problem.
No what problem.
No, but he didn't mention something.
All right.
He talked all about what bad things are, bad things done by bad people with
right.
guns.
Yeah.
He didn't at all say why guns should be taken away from law-abiding citizens, which is what Heller is about. Heller is not about criminals. There are federal gun okay. statutes that say even in the places where guns are legal to own, like the town you're standing in today, in Oregon and Washington, if you're a law-abiding citizen, you haven't been to the mental institution, you can own guns. As many as you want, you can have a trunk full of guns. You can have a closet full of guns. But Heller is about taking guns away not from criminals, but from law-abiding citizens.
Okay, but where's your problem? He talked about regulations by communities.
No, the interviewer says to him, how can you support a ban on guns as constitutional? And he says, well, because people do bad things with guns. What he didn't say was, why should it be legal, why should it be constitutional to take guns away from law-abiding citizens? He never addresses that. What he says is we can have sensible regulation. Is sensible regulation outlawing something?
You can and should hold his feet to the fire on that.
He will not do interviews.
Had you been in Congress, you might have done what the Republicans did not do for the last 7 years and actually do oversight and ask tough questions. You should do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But to then take this next leap that Barack Obama wants to take your guns away.
Hold on. Stop for a second.
I believe is an
in
absurd
that sound bite,
leap
right,
of
in that
faith
soundbite there. Right there, Brad, yeah. Did he not say, in talking about the D.C. gun ban, which yeah. was a flat and unequivocal ban, you could not own a gun in your house, period.
Okay.
In your own home, you couldn't have an unloaded shotgun sitting in the closet. You could not have a pistol in the drawer by your bed, loaded or unloaded. You could not own one, period, as okay. an American citizen. He considers that a sensible regulation. To ban something outright. Now, for example...
What he considered, what he said was that the communities have the right to develop what they believe are sensible
okay, then
regulations.
Let me ask you this.
And he supported
and,
that.
And we're asking about the constitutionality. The
right.
Constitution says, I have a right to own a gun. Now, up to Heller, up to today...
Well,
hold on.
As long as you're well-regulated,
no,
but go ahead.
No, well-regulated militia. Up till today, there's never been a decision that said it is an individual right, but there's never been a decision that said it is not. And there have been
right.
a number that suggested that it was an individual right, including Dred Scott. If you know why that one factors in, Dred
okay.
Scott factors into gun rights. Because one of the concerns raised by people was, we cannot consider black people to be full citizens because if they did, we would have to give them gun rights. They would be entitled to own mm-hmm. guns. And that was a stupid decision by the court. But
yes.
He says that individual communities have the right to have sensible regulations, and he's talking about the D.C. gun ban. The D.C. gun ban is not a regulation. It's a prohibition. It's saying none. You may own no guns under any circumstances.
He believes that the community has the right to make that.
Well,
now,
then
the
let me ask you.
I'm sorry, the Supreme
do you believe
Court
the
found
Constitution lets you doing that?
Banning outright?
Yes. Is that a sensible regulation?
Not one that I would make. Let me put it that
well,
way.
Hold on. I'm going to ask
not
you
Not one that I would make. I
is
have
it
to look
constitutional?
I have not read that law.
Is it constitutional to have an outright ban?
An outright ban? I can't see where it would be.
Do you have free speech rights? You get on your blog all the time. You say all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have free speech rights.
Right. Accurate,
can you go
important
in, can,
things.
Can you go into a hospital zone
yeah.
and start screaming at the top of your lungs at 3 in the morning?
I cannot.
They'll come and write you a ticket
right.
for it. Now,
yeah.
is that interrupting your free speech rights?
It's
a time, place.
It's
what the Supreme Court
can't yell fire.
The Supreme Court says it's a time, place,
right.
and manner regulation
exactly.
that's reasonable because
yes.
we say go scream on some other corner, but not outside the old folks' home or the hospital. That's a regulation. But what if we said inside the bounds of Portland, Oregon, or Eugene or Tillamook, you may not speak about politics?
That would be inappropriate.
That would be unconstitutional.
Exactly.
Right. That's
right.
what I was trying to get to.
Well,
let me bring on
but there's a difference,
Senator
but
Don
there's
Denton.
A difference between saying that you disagree with what he's saying and taking it the next step that he wants to take away your guns.
If he thinks
I
sensible,
don't see it. That's
if,
a political
if,
thing.
No, if he thinks sensible regulation includes an outright ban, a 100% ban, that is taking away your guns. Senator Benton, how are you?
Hey, Lars Larson, good to talk to you, my friend. Great day for the Constitution today, huh?
It is, isn't it? We've just been discussing the fact that Barack Obama thinks you can somehow square up an outright ban in D.C. with gun rights elsewhere in America.
Well, that ought to scare the that ought to scare everybody in this country if he thinks that, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, I think he's a gun grabber, frankly, but you
well,
know.
If you can, hey, if he wants to set aside the Second Amendment, what other amendments to the Constitution do you think he wants to set aside?
I don't know. He's got a list. I think he's focused on taxes and spending, for starters. By the way, starting which, Don, you're in Washington State. What's the state of Washington going to do about its most recent revenue forecast and say you guys are kind of in the soup financially?
Well, that all depends on who the people of the state of Washington put into public office this November. There are really three choices, okay? Raise taxes, cut programs, or do both. If we elect Democrats, which we've done the last several years, and that's why we're in this fix, you know, my good friend Dino Rossi supervised the last balanced budget in this state in a tough time, and if we can put him in as governor again, then maybe we've got a chance to get by without any new taxes. I just had lunch with Dino today, by the way. He's raised more money in this campaign than he did in the entire campaign last time and has more donors already, and we're only halfway through the campaign. So we're very excited about Dino's prospects this year. But that's going to have a lot to do with it. Of course, keeping at least the block in the Senate against the two-thirds majority so Governor Rossi can veto any new spending bills is very important, and picking up a few members in the House. It's just scary when you look at all the legislation that's been talked about. One of them is the anti-gun legislation that they're talking about bringing next year. And Katie barred the door if we end up with a House and a Senate and a governor's mansion all controlled by socialists from Seattle. Guns will be the next thing that'll be on the table. But it's a little bit reassuring to know that the last stop is the U.S. Supreme Court, and they will probably support us even if the legislature does pass. Gun ban.
By the way, Don, standing in the studio with me is Brad, who runs a thing called Brad Blog, and he is a huge critic of election mess-ups. However, I think he makes a special exception by ignoring how the Democrats threw the Washington State governor's election to the other party by simply counting the votes and finding extra boxes of ballots in warehouses until they, the fourth count, finally got the candidate they wanted.
Hardly. Dean Logan, by the way, I had a run-in with him myself last week in Los Angeles because he's our registrar now. But no, I don't agree with what happened there. I don't agree with finding ballots. I agree with counting them accurately. And as both the judge and the Republicans in the Washington State case admitted, there was no fraud brought to that
case.
Now,
hold on. Don, I've tried to persuade Brad that dead people voted. Felons voted. People voted twice. People voted who didn't live in Washington State. People voted who were registered to the elections office as their home address.
By the way, that's not speculation.
No, that's out of the court case.
That's all well documented. Okay, there were more votes cast and more votes counted than there are registered voters in King County.
Then why didn't the Republicans bring that up when they challenged that election?
They did. And they did? I'll get into the weeds on that one. Don, I appreciate you coming on. What else should be in front of people right now?
Well, a couple of things. I understand you had my good friend Joseph James for lunch last week and had him on the air.
Yep.
What'd you think of him?
I think he's pretty impressive.
He's a fine young man, and I want to encourage people in Clark County to get out behind Joseph James because he's a fine young man. He's going to do a good job representing people in the House of Representatives. The other thing is we've got, of course, this big election coming up in November. The primary is going to be a weird animal, and people, you ought to talk a little bit more about this, Lars, because in Washington State now, based on the Supreme Court decision, not the one today about guns, but the one several weeks ago in the top two, you could have some strange things happening in the primary campaigns here if people don't get out and vote. The primary election for the first time in the history of the state is going to be held in August, not September. I think people are ready for that, okay? So it was moved up 4 weeks. They'll be voting in August. The ballots will go in the mail about a month from now. On the 1st of August will be when the first ballots are mailed out for the primary. And the turnout will have a lot to do with this top two thing. And you may end up with two Republicans or two Democrats on the ballot in the general election. So I just want people to be aware you're going to be voting a lot earlier in the primary in Washington State than you've ever voted before, so be aware of that.
We'll encourage people to get out. Don, thanks a lot for coming on.
Hey, terrific to talk to you, and it's a good day for Second Amendment, isn't it?
You better believe it. Thank you very much. Senator Don Benton from Washington State, 12 minutes before the hour. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. About 5 minutes before the hour, Brad Friedman's with me from Brad Blog, and we're taking phone calls and emails. Let me bring on Jeff from Hillsborough. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, Lars, I saw you on CNN last night.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about
going back on tonight
on Campbell Brown.
Yeah.
And I swear I heard you say that we've won the war.
I said we're winning.
You
said we've won. I've got it on tape. You said it at the end. But even if we're winning, I'd like to know that since 39 troops have been killed this month.
Yes.
20 Iraqi civilians yesterday, 2 civilians, 7 soldiers on Tuesday, big bomb today.
Yeah. You got enough examples, yeah.
German. Let me finish for just a second.
Well, you're going to have to finish up soon because we're going to run out of daylight, Jeff.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
man.
Well, we are. There is, you know, you guys who don't know radio don't watch the clock.
Watch the clock.
Shut up for a second. What's the question?
The question is, how could you possibly think we're winning this war? And by the way, things are worse in Afghanistan.
Did we win the war against Japan?
How many people have been killed?
Hold on. Did we win the war against Japan?
Yes, we did.
Did people die after the end of the war with Japan?
Absolutely not. A falsehood. Fallacious.
Not true.
No one except a few people on island.
Oh, just a few people. Well, that's what I'm suggesting. Do I believe we're winning? Yes, I believe we're winning. So, now that's the end of the issue.
You did say yesterday that we won.
Yeah.
We have one in Iraq, and they're not reporting it. And yesterday, at least 10 American troops were killed.
I understand that.
On the day that we
won. What's your point?
Well, I'm just backing him up.
I'm not saying that's the day we've won. We've won that
war. And I'm not even sure what we won. What did we win?
It is being cleaned up at this point, just as we had to stay in both Germany and Japan for half a dozen years after we won. Now, do we teach school kids? We didn't actually win in 45. We had to win 6 years later when we finally came home, except that we haven't actually come home.
Well,
we've still got troops
there. Later, we still have yet to win. We've got blockades in the streets. I don't think we had them every other block in Japan and Germany.
Are there free elections? Are there free elections? Is there an operational government? Did the government this week take over two more provinces, the Iraqi government, to run them on its own?
Progress is being made. Happy to see.
Well, okay, so do we call this a win, or do we say...
You called it a win.
Well, do we say it's a win when the last death has happened in Iraq, which may never happen? There may be deaths in Iraq for the next 20 years. Some of them may be some of our troops if they stay. Some of them may be their troops. So if we say we're going to define winning as when the last death has happened, then we never win. And I do think that that's exactly what the left would like to say. We will never have won there. It's 3 minutes before the hour, and you've got the Lars Larson Show. Hey, welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you. It's 7 minutes after the hour, and especially glad on a day like today where the United States Supreme Court has come down with the decision that many of us have waited our entire lives for, the affirmation of something that I think we've known for a long time, that if you read the Constitution, it says Americans have a right to own a gun. Now, is that an unrestricted right? No more than free speech or religion. You have a right to own a gun. You have a right to free speech. You have a right to public assembly under the First Amendment. Is that an unregulated right? The answer is no. I mean, for instance, in your own community, if you decide to have a parade of 500 of your favorite friends down the street to make a point about the war, about gasoline or anything else, the city can say you need to have a permit for that. If you decide to go out and speak in a way, if you stand on the edge of a fight and encourage somebody to beat the guy up, that's called inciting to riot. It's actually a crime in most places. You can't do that. So gun rights are not unregulated any more than free speech rights are, free assembly rights, or even practice of religion. Let's say your religious practices, as some in the Western United States do, involve peyote or other controlled substances. You do not have an unrestricted right to practice your religion if it involves using illegal substances. So we've got that as one of the biggest things on the agenda right now. And standing in studio with me, here in our studio right in the center, the heart of liberalism in one of the most liberal communities in the United States of America, Portland, Oregon, is Brad Friedman from Brad Blog. Good to have you here.
Delighted to be here, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. People can go to your website, so feel free to plug it.
Bradblog.com.
There you go. And what is intended by Brad Blog? I got the feeling you got hung up on Diebold election machine.
Because that is the core of our democracy. If we can't throw the bad guys out, we can't throw the bums out, then we're in big trouble. But, in general, we cover hypocrisy, accountability, and, of course, election fairness and the right to vote and have your vote counted.
So you feature a lot of Democrats.
We beat up a lot of Democrats, I can tell you that. We also beat up a lot of Republicans, hold them accountable, something that the Republicans used to care about don't seem to care so much about anymore.
Oh, I care about it. Look, I was glad when Duke Cunningham went to jail, yeah. I said absolutely right.
Right.
When, in fact, the bathroom stall creeper, Craig from Idaho, should have been tossed out of office a long time ago.
Okay, Scooter Libby, throw him in jail.
I don't think Scooter Libby did anything wrong.
Well, he outed a covert
CIA agent. No, actually, that was Richard
Armitage,
but yeah, Armitage is a buddy of the lefties, so he gets a pass.
He did, too. I find it hard to believe that Armitage is a buddy of the lefties, but he's no buddy of mine.
I'll tell you
of course,
what,
I'm not a lefty. I'm
take
a constitutionalist.
Yeah, right. Let's take some phone calls.
Yeah, right.
We'll take some phone calls. We'll talk about Heller and things like that. Your calls are welcome at 866-509-5277. That's 866-509-LARS. Or send emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. Let's go to California and talk to Rob about Barack Obama. How you doing, Rob?
Hi, I'm doing great. I got two small questions for you.
I'll do my best.
What are the chances that Saudi Arabia's money influences our congressman and Obama as far as his influence to not want to drill or refineries or any other basic sources of non-energy and holding us hostage? Now, or in short, could they in any way be involved in some of the money that Obama is raising?
I'm going to tell you I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that, you know, raising foreign money, that's something done. Well, I guess if there's no controlling legal authority and you're Al Gore, you can get money in a paper sack from monks. But that's I guess, there was no controlling legal authority for that. So we've given him a pass on all that. But do I think Barack Obama is raising money from the Saudis? No.
Well, we do have at least a couple hundred legal lobbyists that are influencing our congressmen as to what they do. And I wouldn't put past a few of them having their heads turned.
We do have those lobbyists, and many of them working for the John McCain campaign, actually, and pushing that Enron loophole that if we did away with that tomorrow, we'd drop the fuel prices 25% to 50%, according to the experts.
You believe that that's the case because of the...
I do. The speculators who are allowed to do this, and mind you, that was Phil Graham of Texas, his wife, who ended up going to work for Enron, but she was a lobbyist. She got Phil Graham to get that law passed. John McCain was originally against it. Now he's in favor of it. Has not come out against the Enron.
Well, don't ask me to defend John McCain, but Rob, thank you very much for the call. 866-509-5277. Let's talk about Heller, though. The Supreme Court comes out today and says you have a right as an individual citizen in America to own a gun, and that is not something that is a collective right. It's not something based on your membership in the National Guard. It's simply an individual right that you have.
I have no problem with that. Now, I have not read the decision yet this morning. As I said, we've been traveling, so I haven't gotten to see what the both the dissenting and the majority opinion were. I have no problem with that in general. What I have a problem with is the hypocrisy and the political machinations of using this decision or the fear of taking away guns entirely as a political scheme to say, oh, Barack Obama wants to take your guns away. I think that's intellectually dishonest, and I hate to see, you know, Republicans these days seem to have very, very difficult time arguing the facts. They've got to argue the fear. So you should be scared because Barack Obama is going to take away your rights. You should be scared because the terrorists are coming to get you. I say let's have an intellectually honest discussion about these things instead of dividing the country for political means, and that's what Republicans have been doing now for years.
The problem is,
yeah,
1996, last time we got the full measure of Barack Obama on this subject, mm-hmm. and in an explicit question asked of him,
yeah.
he was asked in a campaign questionnaire, do you support state legislation to ban the manufacture, sale, and possession, not or, so all three, manufacture, sale, and possession of handguns? The answer, yes.
Okay.
Now, that was 12 years ago.
Sure.
So he could have changed his mind, but I haven't heard him say, I changed my mind. I have heard him give two or three different positions. He gave the position, and I've got him on tape, saying he thinks the D.C. handgun ban, or gun ban, because yeah. it bans all guns, not just handguns, he says that's constitutional. But he has also said to groups that he doesn't intend to take people's guns away. So when we got him in 96 saying he supports legislation to ban manufacture, sale, and possession, when we've got him saying he thinks the D.C. gun ban is constitutional, what should we make of that?
Well, if he's supporting states and communities doing this, that's up to him. Now, the Supreme Court steps in, says this is unconstitutional, so be it. I haven't seen him come out and say, no, you can't do that. But all of this is a far cry
but it's
from
not
saying
up
that
to
he
him.
Wants to take your guns
See,
away.
See, here's why.
Yeah.
He takes an oath when he becomes president to do what? to support and defend the Constitution of the U.S. of the United States.
I remember
he apparently believes that the Constitution says it's all right to ban the possession of guns.
Look, George Bush, not only...
How did it get to George Bush? I was talking about Barack Obama.
Because to say that he supports the community's right to do this is a far cry from saying, you have no habeas corpus rights. No. You have no right to
protection. Now you're changing the subject. I'm saying Barack Obama believes that the D.C., the Washington, D.C. gun ban is constitutional.
Okay.
So when he takes the oath, if he becomes president, he'll take an oath to support the Constitution, which he believes allows you to ban the possession of guns. Now, that does sound like if you ban the possession of guns by law-abiding citizens, that's taking your guns away.
Because he supports the community's right to do so. Now, if the Supreme Court finds that he's
wrong,
as he did in this case,
every community in the United States has to follow the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
It's the floor. You can go higher than that. But you can't go lower than that.
But the Supreme Court found that he was wrong. If I take your description of Obama's position, as you've described it.
Well, you heard the audio.
That's fine. So the Supreme Court found him that it was wrong. That's that.
No, it's not.
Why
because,
is that?
Because
why are you furious about that, but you're not furious about the rights that actually are being taken away, have been taken away from all Americans across this country over the past 8 years?
You're talking about habeas corpus?
Talking about habeas corpus, unreasonable
habeas corpus was taken away from
unusual punishment.
Enemy combatants who've never been in the United States. There's a difference. Habeas corpus.
Well, the Supreme Court disagrees with you.
I agree. I agree. And I disagree with the Supreme Court.
And it shall not be suspended. Very clear.
No, but who did the Constitution apply to? Read the Constitution. Who does it apply to?
It does not say anything about this only applies to citizens.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
It applies to people who are here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people that they were applying it to at Guantanamo Bay in the United States?
Well, apparently the people who serve at Guantanamo... Well, for one, the Supreme Court says yes.
There are people serving in Japan. Does the U.S. Constitution apply in Japan?
I'm allowed to travel to Guantanamo Bay if I want. I'm not allowed to travel to Cuba.
Nope.
There's a reason.
Here's the thing. If you travel to Tokyo, do you have habeas corpus rights in Tokyo?
No, I don't.
No, because the U.S. Constitution does not extend to foreign countries.
Uh-huh.
Cuba is a foreign country. We have a base there, but Cuba is a foreign country.
But the Supreme Court found that a military base is serving as an extension
of
the U.S.
Their actual finding had to do with who had control of these combatants. And that's a scary one, because if we have two soldiers in Baghdad tonight who take an Iraqi into custody and believe he's a member of al-Qaeda, does he have the right to habeas corpus?
He's under
the control of U.S. soldiers, and that was the heart of the Supreme Court's decision, was if this man is under the control of the United States government...
Then he has habeas corpus rights?
That was the theory.
Sounds good to me.
That's insane.
Why?
Because it means that anybody on planet Earth, no matter where they are, whether they've been to the United States or not, and I never get caught up in this business of whether somebody's a citizen or not, the Constitution applies to everybody who's here in the United States. It does not apply to people who are in foreign lands.
So we hold hundreds and hundreds of folks down in Cuba purposely.
Uh-huh.
You're okay with taking away their rights
to habeas corpus.
Not,
and do you
United
want to know
States.
Why?
Well,
would you like to
know
why? Here's
why.
Do you know what habeas corpus is?
I think I do.
It says, I have the right if I'm accused of a crime.
Right.
So if tonight I'm driving home and the police pull me over and they throw me in a jail cell, tomorrow morning I can say it's a Friday, it's not a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to appear in front of a judge. I want an independent trier of fact to hear, and I want to know what I'm charged with.
Right.
And I have a right to know what I'm charged with, and to a certain extent, what's the evidence against me, so that a judge can hear it and say, you didn't charge him with anything. He's not accused of any crime. Turn him loose.
Right.
And the judge will do that in the United States.
Yeah.
So that you don't get kangaroo courts or anything else. In the case of a terrorist, the terrorist has a right to go into a federal court in Miami or Washington, D.C. and say to the judge, have the government tell you what it is they have on me.
Yeah.
And at that point, when we give up that information, the information goes straight out to the public domain, and the bad guys find out what we know.
And what will they do with it?
I could give you some
specific... What are the bad guys going to do with it? And you're not even talking about terrorists, because in two-thirds of these cases, these guys were let go. They did nothing. The only conviction
we
got was a guy who was sent to house arrest for 9 months down there.
In the cases where we've decided to let people go, we've taken them into custody...
Believing
they were possible terrorists, and then when we believe that we don't have the evidence, we let them go. But should they be entitled to American constitutional rights?
Of course.
Why?
Because we're America.
No.
And we're better than these kangaroo courts around the country,
around
the world.
I'll respectfully disagree with you, but you're right. The Supreme Court found me wrong. Back in just a moment, 19 minutes after the hour, you've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show, 24 minutes after the hour, and Brad Friedman from Brad Blog is in studio with me. I decided you're in town. We might as well get you in here. And,
delighted to be here.
And we'll take some phone calls, too, for
Sounds
you.
Sounds good.
866-509-5277. Send emails, talk@LarsLarson.com. In Lewiston, Idaho, on KMAX. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lars. I'd just like to suggest that if your guest is... so excited about getting these guys loose that it's my dear hope that they're turned loose in his neighborhood and the Supreme Court who voted for that. The Army didn't pick them up for selling posies on the corner. I don't know if your guest has been in the Army, but I have. And there's
the
a
Army
reason
actually
for
picked
them
up a lot of these
where
guys.
They're at. So, you know, God bless you, sir. I just hope that they don't turn them loose in my neighborhood because their life expectancy will be much longer in Guantanamo than it will be here.
I have the same feeling. So, I mean, but really, this is the question. You've raised a question during the break. So how do we determine if these guys are bad guys or not? How sure do you want to be that they're bad guys before you pick them up to begin with? Because there's all this criticism. Well, you're picking up people who are just innocent shepherds. Well, okay, it'd be nice to know. And then we say we've turned some of them loose, and some of them, according to Scalia, have gone off to do other terrorist acts. And we say, well, how do you know that?
Oh, well, two-thirds of them, we let them go. We were told, we do know that they offered huge bounties on these guys. People were doing it to make money, turning in their neighbors, turning in the enemies.
And sometimes true, sometimes not.
Sometimes true, sometimes not. Two-thirds of them let go, but only after being held there for years. Now, I'm not afraid that our legal system won't handle it. I'm not afraid that our Constitution is not up to snuff. I support the Constitution. I support not suspending habeas corpus, giving these guys a right to face their accusers, putting it in open court. I don't have a problem with that. I think that I know you do.
Well, no, but tell me this. How sure? Because if I hear the criticism is, we pick people up on far too little evidence. All right, so you would like us to be more reluctant to pick people up who we are told. Well, no, but it has to be one way or the other. Either you have to say you've picked people up too frequently who were just falsely accused by their angry neighbors or their, you know, there's some vendetta that their neighbors got. He says, yeah, that guy over here, he's Al-Qaeda.
Oh,
I know. Or they're doing it to settle a score. Fine.
Sure.
A gore.
Okay.
No controlling legal
That's
authority.
Been settled
but
already.
But in any case,
no controlling.
Yeah, $100 million for global warming card credits.
And more votes for Gore in Florida than Bush.
But here's the deal. Do you want to be reluctant to pick these people up and say, well, we're not quite sure on that guy. Let's let him run around and see if he blows anything up before we actually take him into custody.
Pick him up.
And then what?
Put him on trial.
On trial, he's a common criminal.
He is a common criminal, or in most cases,
and who
he's
will you use
innocent.
As witnesses against him?
Well,
see, because this is where when you get into the weeds,
then
it becomes.
Why did we pick them up in the first place?
Because
there was no evidence that they did anything.
See, I think in a war zone, you've got to operate under some different rules.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and in the sense that. Somebody says, that guy, he's the bomb builder. So you pick him up. Who are you going to use as witnesses? Well, we'll pull all the people from the neighborhood that ID'd him as the bomb builder, and then they'll be dead a week from now.
Look, Lars, we were told
these
were the worst of the worst.
Yes.
And they weren't.
Some were and some weren't.
Were let go. The other, we don't know if any of them were because none of them have been put on trial. That's what our system is about. If you want to live under a jihadi system, there are places that you can go. I say people have rights, inalienable rights.
All people on planet Earth
are created.
All people on planet Earth.
According to the Constitution, endowed.
The Constitution only applies to people within the bounds of the United States of America.
It says all inalienable
with, no,
rights.
No, it defines the people controlled
endowed
by the Constitution
by
as the. You're going back to the Declaration now.
Sorry.
But in the Constitution, the Constitution only applies to people within the bounds of the United States.
Okay, so you have found, as I said before, this Clintonian escape route to say, well, they're in
Does
Cuba.
The Constitution of the U.S. apply to the whole planet? How can it apply to the whole planet?
I'm not saying that it applies
Well, then
to the whole
does it only apply to the United States?
Then we talk about rights.
Then does it only apply to the United States?
Of course it does.
Okay,
not
then
to
does
the
it apply to a guy
have,
in does it apply to a guy in Baghdad?
if he is held by Americans, I believe that
so
it
in
does.
Other words, the yes. minute the Americans put sure. some zip cuffs on him, he's protected by constitutional rights.
Sounds good to me.
Can he get an ACLU lawyer and an immediate hearing in Miami Federal District Court?
Sounds okay to me.
Gee,
why
sounds
not?
Great. Okay.
Why not?
And then we'll haul in his neighbors,
look,
and the neighbors are all going to...
If he did something, let's bring him to trial. Let's show the evidence. Let's stand up for what America...
The website is bradblog.com. Brad, it's a
Thank
pleasure.
You,
Thank you.
Always
29 minutes after the hour. Back in a moment.